Welcome to the Jim Hurley Network's Football Betting Podcast, where we talk about the highlights of betting college and NFL football. The Jim Hurley Network has been in the business of public handicapping since 1985. We work with football experts, stat masterminds, and knowledgeable insiders both in Las Vegas and offshore to release the highest quality plays to our clients. Visit us online, www.jimhurley.com, and sign up for our free betting selection. Now, in today's edition, we're going to preview all four games of the NFL divisional round that go on Saturday and Sunday. We'll start with Baltimore at New England, which is Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC. It's the fourth time in 6 years that the Ravens and Patriots are colliding at playoff time, and you might be interested in knowing that Baltimore has won two of the three games, all in Foxborough, and covered the spread all three times, but does that necessarily mean anything here? The fact of the matter is New England has played with a real chip on the shoulder this season. Keep in mind, Bill Belichick's club actually was a home underdog twice this season, beat both Cincinnati and Denver outright in those games. And while New England's the betting choice here all week long, quarterback Tom Brady, after a 4,100-yard passing season with 33 touchdowns, has been hearing about his quote-unquote fear of having to play a physical Ravens team. But this just in, the here-and-now Patriots have held nine opponents to 20 points or less. No small feat in this high-scoring era of the NFL, and here we'll do everything in their collective power to get in the grill of Baltimore quarterback Joe Flacco. Now keep in mind, the Pats had 40 sacks this year, led by linebacker Rob Ninkovich's 8 sacks, and that's going to be a large part of this game, because if New England can't rattle Flacco, who threw 2 touchdown passes in last Saturday's 30-17 win at Pittsburgh, then everything's going to fall on those Patriot corners, and so it could be high time that cornerback Darrell Revis earned his scratch here. On the flip side, the Patriots make no secret of the fact that Brady loves to chuck at the tight end Rob Gronkowski, who had 82 catches, over 1,100 yards, and 12 touchdowns. And Baltimore's patchwork secondary could have major problems handling him in the middle of the field. But we say the Pats need to outrush the Ravens in this clash, and so running backs Jonas Gray and LeGarrette Blount have to be more than just afterthoughts in this pass-first offense. The Patriots want to win the time of possession in this game. The Steelers succeeded in that regard for much of the first half in last week's game against the Ravens, but simply didn't do enough when they have the ball. But expect Belichick and company to shoot for 35-plus minutes of possession time here. And here's some notes against the spread. New England is 9-7 against the odds this year, and note the Patriots are a collective 38-34-1 spread-wise as betting favorites the past 5 years. Meanwhile, Baltimore enters this playoff tilt with a sizzling 10-4 ATS record in all postseason games in the John Harbaugh era that started in 2008, and the Ravens are 9-8 ATS overall this year. Now we'll move on to the NFC game on Saturday night, which is Carolina and Seattle, 8:15 Eastern on Fox. The 12th man is all fired up. Playoff football is back in Seattle 1 year after the Seahawks copped their first ever Super Bowl crown. And now the $64,000 question is this. Is there really anybody out there that can beat the Seahawks if Pete Carroll's club plays its proverbial A game? In a word, no. Still, Seattle is no lead pipe cinch to make it to the Super Bowl, even though the NFC West champs roar into this tilt riding a 6-game straight-up winning streak and a 6-game ATS winning streak, powered by that Legion of Boom defense that's held those last half-dozen opponents to a grand total of 39 points, or 6.5 points per game. The Seahawks have obliterated enemy offenses in the past month and a half, but the key to beating the champs is getting ahead of them. Seattle ranks just 27th in the NFL in passing offense, and making quarterback Russell Wilson, 3,475 yards passing with 20 touchdowns, chuck it when he has to chuck it, is key. Wilson's killed teams with his legs lately. Some designed runs, see the big win against the New York Giants, and some coming on old-fashioned scramble plays, see versus Arizona a couple of weeks back. But if Carolina's underrated defense can keep Wilson in the pocket and turn him over a couple of times, then the dogged Panthers have a shot. Hey, did you know Carolina has allowed just 59 points in the last 5 games? Obviously, the Seahawks defense is the top unit on the field here, with cornerback Richard Sherman getting the task of stopping rookie wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin, who had 73 catches, just over 1,000 yards, and 9 touchdowns. And we don't believe it's at all possible the Panthers can spring the upset unless the QB Cam Newton to Benjamin combo strikes for a batch of chunk plays here. Yes, we know Newton, who went for over 3,100 yards passing with 18 TDs, has done plenty with his legs in recent weeks for a Carolina offense that ranks 7th in the league in rushing offense. But unless the visitors can strike up some flip-the-plays field here, it's going to be lights out for another Seattle foe here. And if you're looking for a key number here, how about 30-plus carries for Seattle running backs Marshawn Lynch, Robert Turbin, and then along with Russell Wilson combined? If that's the case, the Seahawks more likely than not win by 2 touchdowns or more. Some spread notes. Seattle is 10-6 versus the VIG this year, and that features that current 6-game spread winning streak. Note the Seahawks are 5-2 ATS in postseason games in the Pete Carroll era. On the flip side, Carolina is 9-8 against the Las Vegas price tags this season, and that includes 3 outright upset wins as road dogs at Tampa Bay, at New Orleans, and at Atlanta. Plus, the Panthers are 16-11 ATS as dogs the past 3 years. Move on to Sunday's games. Dallas at Green Bay, which is at 1 Eastern on Fox. Are this year's Dallas Cowboys a team of destiny, or are they, in fact, just lucky to be here at Frosty Lambeau Field for the second-round playoff game? Consider that the boys survived in advance to this round off last week's highly controversial 24-20 non-cover home win against the 6-point underdog Detroit Lions, with the following all taking place. Dallas allowed 6 sacks of quarterback Tony Romo. Wide receiver Dez Bryant caught just 3 passes worth 48 yards. NFL rushing leader DeMarco Murray ran for only 75 yards. And all-everything place kicker Dan Bailey missed a chip shot field goal. And still, the Cowboys managed a rare postseason win. Right, you wish to be one of the millions of folks making major noise regarding that pick-up-the-flag non-penalty call against Cowboy linebacker Anthony Hitchens midway through the fourth quarter, then you go right ahead. But remember, the Lions could have stopped that Romo-led 11-play, 59-yard go-ahead TD drive capped by wide receiver Terrence Williams' second touchdown grab, but they didn't, and so Dallas is alive and with upset dreams in mind here. Damn the Ice Bowl of 1967. The here and now Cowboys can't rewrite history, but they can pen their own unique story. And do keep in mind, the boys have won all 8 of their road games this 2014 season. The fact also remains that the Dallas offensive line, yes, still the best blocking unit in the league, has to play better than it did a week ago when Detroit's raging defensive tackle, the Damakong Sue, took apart the middle of the Cowboys' O-line, and you've got to believe that Jason Garrett's club learned its lesson after digging itself a 14-0 hole. If high-octane Green Bay charges out to a 14-zip lead here in front of the home folks, you'll get really long odds on the Cowboys making a comeback for the ages 2 weeks in a row. And so the whole key, the way we see it, is Dallas must stay within range all game long here and then count on one of those aforementioned playmakers, that's Romo, Bryant, and Murray, to make a big play or two at crunch time. Meanwhile, the Packers won all 8 of their home games this season while averaging nearly 40 points per game. But the $64,000 question here is, what's the status of quarterback Aaron Rodgers' calf? All week long, we've been hearing reports that Rodgers himself doesn't believe he'll be close to 100% by game time, but gotta believe last weekend's playoff bye has helped immensely, and so Rodgers, with over 4,300 yards passing, 38 touchdowns against just 5 interceptions, and the likely winner of this year's MVP award, may not be the threat with his legs, but expect him to be sharp here, and as usual, a major key to this game will be whether or not wide receivers Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb can be the flip-the-field specialists here against the Dallas defense that last week yielded a 99 3/4 yard touchdown drive to the Lions. While the Rodgers injury has received plenty of attention the past few days, don't discount the hurts of Eddie Lacy at running back, over 1,100 yards rushing 9 touchdowns, who had shoulder and leg ankle woes late the regular season. We say the Packers probably won't win here unless Lacy gets 20-25 rushes and 100 yards. Defensively, Green Bay has been a different team ever since moving Pro Bowl linebacker Clay Matthews to the middle. Hey, the numbers speak for themselves as the Packers surrendered some 153.5 yards a game on the ground to their first 8 opponents and allowed just 86.4 yards rushing in the last 8 games. But an X factor here is, will the Packers' active secondary lend a major hand in run defense, or will it be so wrapped up in containing the likes of Bryant, Williams, and tight end Jason Witten that you might see Murray bust a couple of long ones, provided that the Dallas offensive line can occupy Matthews? Some spread notes. Dallas is 10-7 ATS overall this season, and that includes a nifty 4-1 spread log when placed in the underdog role. Meanwhile, Green Bay is 9-6-1 ATS overall this season, and note the Packers are 7-3-1 vig-wise in postseason games under head coach Mike McCarthy. Indianapolis at Denver. It's the last game of the weekend at 4:40 Eastern on Sunday on CBS. We'll save you the trouble of looking it up. Denver quarterback Peyton Manning won 9 postseason games while employed by the Indianapolis Colts from 1998 through 2011, but now he and his Broncos are listed as full touchdown betting favorites to beat the Horseshoes this weekend. Okay, so Manning is a career 11-12 straight up in all postseason games in his NFL lifetime, and that includes a pair of Super Bowl losses. But now here come the Broncos barreling into this second season much healthier than they were at the tail end of the regular season, when the likes of wide receivers Demaryius Thomas with his hand, Emmanuel Sanders with his back were hurting, and don't forget the downtime last weekend also helped heal up leading tackler linebacker Brandon Marshall with his foot, and key safety TJ Ward with his neck, to say nothing of the 38-year-old Manning, who admitted he could use a break in the action before journeying out on this playoff drive. The Broncos have changed philosophies in midstream this year, with less pressure heaped on Manning and a better balanced offense leading the way, with back C.J. Anderson capping off a neat regular season with his 3 scoring runs versus Oakland in Week 17. But to beat frisky Indianapolis here, we believe Manning will have to challenge this so-so secondary often, and that means he needs some help from often invisible tight end Julius Thomas. Indianapolis, meanwhile, is searching for its second post-Manning playoff win. Last year's Colts downed Kansas City 45-44 after digging themselves a hefty 28-point hole, but now the heat's being turned up on third-year quarterback Andrew Luck, who threw for 376 yards and 1 touchdown in last week's 26-10 home win and cover against Cincinnati, and now here he looks for a signature road playoff win in the Mile High City. Luck completed 31 of 44 aerial attempts last week against the Bengals, but he was betrayed by some bad hands, as the Colts dropped 5 or 6 on-target strikes, and even wideout T.Y. Hilton, who caught 6 for 103 last Sunday, dropped a couple of balls that would have given the Colts a tad more breathing room later in the game. One part of Luck's game plan here is to see how often he turns to new number one running back Daniel Heron as a pass catcher. Heron nabbed a team-high 10 catches worth 85 yards against the Bengals, but he did fumble twice, and that remains a major concern for head coach Chuck Pagano and company. If you're looking for the Colts to possibly throw a curveball at the Broncos' defense, then look for Indy to feature a few designed runs by Luck, who, as we've been telling you for the past 3 years, is a major threat with his legs, and so extending drives with a couple of Luck runs here could be critical. Some spread notes. Indianapolis is a tasty 11-5-1 against the odds this year, and so that makes the Colts a collective 32-18-2 ATS the past 3 years, a 640 winning percentage. On the flip side, Denver's a dead even, but vig losing 8-8 against the numbers this year, and the Broncos enter this playoff bash at 16-10-1 ATS at home during the head coach John Fox quarterback Manning era. And thanks for listening to this edition of Jim Hurley's Football Betting Podcast. The Jim Hurley Network's team approach to handicapping can help you translate information into money. Visit us online, www.jimhurley.com. Follow us on Twitter, VSM_Hurley. And call us toll-free, 1-800-323-4453, to speak to a representative that can line you up with our best plays in the NFL playoffs to get you the Ohio State-Oregon College National Championship game, and make sure you ask about college basketball and NBA service as well. And don't forget, our free betting selection is available online.